true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you've captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning.
There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you've captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning.
You give me joy
down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul.
Yes, you give me joy
down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning. There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning.
You give me joy
down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul.
If you give me joy
down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul.
If you give me joy
down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul.
If you give me joy
down deep in my soul. I've got joy instead of mourning.
And you give me joy
down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul.
If you give me joy
down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul.
I've never been so free. Caught in your love for me.
He loves me.
More secure knowing your
soul
heart.
So glad he loves me. I've never been so free. Caught in your love for me. I've never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. I've never been so free. Caught in your love for me. I've never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. I've never been more secure, knowing you. You give me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul.
I've never been so free, caught in your love for me.
He loves me.
Knowing your
heart, he loves me.
I've never been so free, caught in your love for me. I've never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. I've never been so free, caught in your love for me. I've never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. I've never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been.
Let's just take a moment and lift up the name of Jesus. You are worthy, Father. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Your name is beautiful. Your name is wonderful.
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Lord. We thank you so much, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Very excited. This goes way back, 97. I graduated high school and came here to Madison. And unfortunately, for the next, 7 years, people still did not call me by my name. And the reason was, is because my brother preceded me. And so it was always, oh, Joel's brother. Joel's brother. So thank the Lord. Time and age has warped the memories. And many of you are new. And now you, some of you never knew my brother. So I would like to introduce Phil's brother. He does not have a name, no. My brother Joel, he's in Tampa, works full-time, and on the side is planting a church in the southeast portion of Tampa. He's a phenomenal man of God. I'm excited for him to be with us this morning to teach us, and I'm sure he has a word from the Lord. Let's give him a warm welcome this morning.
Thanks, bro. Praise the Lord, CGC. Praise the Lord, CGC. Hallelujah. I know I'm supposed to teach. I think I've been asked to teach, but I just have a message that I feel in my heart for many weeks a couple weeks as the idea came about to maybe be here as we bury our uncle in Marshfield, Wisconsin, tomorrow. One of Mom's older brothers passed. And just felt a message for this church in this moment that I want to bring to you. It's not going to be teaching. I'm just going to deliver what God has placed in my heart. Is that okay this morning? Amen. So good to see some familiar faces, some new faces, and God bless you all for your faithfulness over the years. I was a missionary kid in 1995, applied to Duke University and was not smart enough. My second option was the University of Wisconsin and attended for just a couple years, experiencing a lot of culture shock coming from a high school graduating class of, I think, 32 to this massive university. And I took my gap year after my sophomore year and went to Bible college in California and met my wife there. We were ministering alongside and helping her parents plant a church in the Minneapolis area. And then the Lord just kind of sideswiped us, and we moved to Tampa for a job relocation, job opportunity, and now we're planting a church in the Tampa area. And we covet your prayers. And as we pray for you in this church, we are laborers together in Christ. Somebody say amen. The masks are on, so I think I see some faces that are recognizable. I just want to say during those transition years, and Phil can attest to this as well, Pastor Phil, Tim and Kim Knopp, I must say, I don't know where I would be without them. The reason that Madison was on our radar is because we knew there was an outstanding church and an outstanding campus ministry. And Tim and Kim, I love you so much. Amen. I'm going to move fast here. I know time is limited. I want to turn your direction this morning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. Thank you, audiovisual team, for your help with scriptures. I'm just going to kind of scoot here this morning. Amen. Gospel of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what will the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" This was 2,000 plus years ago. And Jesus answered them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, epidemics. Does anyone know what I'm talking about this morning? And earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. They will hand you, verse 9, over to be persecuted and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many, too many, will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise and will deceive many, because sin will abound. The love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Can I get a witness this morning? Hallelujah. I direct your attention to the Gospel of Luke chapter 21 and verse 29. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you will see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And so for the next few moments, I just want to teach, preach, treach, whatever you want to call it. Fear not, look up, and press forward. Look to your neighbor, bump your neighbor, and say, fear not, neighbor. Look at that other neighbor and say, look up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Press forward. Fear not. Look up and press forward. Despite the high-level details that God's word describes of this end time, I want to draw your attention this morning that the author of our faith does not finish this end time synopsis, this excerpt that we read first, with doom and doubt. Instead, the finisher of our faith concludes with this charge, how to cross that eternal finish line. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Somebody be encouraged this morning. Yes, it goes without saying that we are witnesses to the beginning of sorrows. I asked Pastor Phil as we drove here this morning, do you think Bishop Grant, is he able to come to service much anymore? I wanted to hug his neck. I remember the old sanctuary, the fellowship hall, listened to the preaching of this man and how it stirred my soul, my young soul, and got into my heart. Our elders, our faithful elders, they have warned us to get ready. They have warned us to be ready. They have warned us to be aware and to be awake and to be sober. But now we are witnessing a high-speed transformation of society that will usher in the framework for a brand new world order and a cashless society and a one-world government that is predicted by the Word of God. There's no mistaking now. I know for years we thought, well, you know, I think we're in the end times. It feels like we're in the end of time. Folks, we are living in the last days. There's no mistaking it now. Article after article, I'm reading about the one world order and how this mighty global shift and disruption, how countries have to come together to fight this pandemic, to get our economies back on track. That's today. That's not tomorrow. That's not next year. It's happening today. The stage is being set today. The plans are being made today. We are witnesses all around us, this friction of the spirit of the Antichrist and false gods of this world fighting for their hold on humanity and wrestling with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They're not going to go down easy. We are witnessing these temporary natural kingdoms begin to release their grip, but not without a fight, and give way to an eternal supernatural kingdom. Somebody say amen. We are witnessing death and disease all around us. I myself laid in bed a couple months ago, came down with COVID on the 4th of July, began with the chills and the aches and realized what it was. And I thought, man, this is what I've heard about. This is what I've read about. Lord, I'm in your hands. There's nothing I can do but lay in this bed and sleep. And I slept for about a week straight, wondering, God, you're the boss. Please don't take me. There's a lot of work to do, but God, you're the boss. And I know many in the congregation of this size, many have had COVID and survived it. We thank God for it. But we see and witness death and disease, a pandemic that inches another degree closer to each of us. And by now, most of us, if not all of us, know someone close that has succumbed to the virus. And due to the continually mutating virus of COVID, we are witnessing dangerous degrees of disruption in our world and in what feels like every segment of society. It has infiltrated, it has disrupted every routine, every process, everything, every normalcy that we were comfortable with. It's infected not just people in their bodies, but it's disrupted this world in unprecedented measures that our generations have never seen before. In our bodies, in our minds, in our homes, in our families, in our schools, in our places of employment, and yes, even in the church. I see folks wearing masks this morning. That's because of COVID. Social distancing and rules and regulations. As we tried to depart Tampa Friday night, I had a young man sitting right in front of me that was a little careless with his mask. He was finishing up a Subway with his friend handed across the aisle. And he was a little flippant about putting it back on. And one of the flight attendants said, "You need to get your mask on, son. This is my fourth leg and last leg of a long day. Don't mess with me," she said in so many words. And he was careless. They came and talked to him. They had a little huddle right in front of me and said, we've got two ways we're going to do this. Either you put your mask on and you keep it on, and if you take it off after we leave, we'll have the authorities escort you off the plane when we arrive. He's like, okay. And he kept his mask on. We stopped, and the captain had other thoughts. We turned back around, went back to the gate, and they took him off the flight. We're seeing personal disruptions. Disruptions everywhere we turn. As we try to get back to some normal semblance of life, it's just in our face. It's on the news. You can't escape it. We are witnesses to death and disease and its related disruptions all around us. The country of Haiti just weeks ago rocked by a 7.2 earthquake, stronger than the 2010 earthquake that killed 250,000 people and left more than 1.5 million homeless. This is on the heels of the assassination of their president. We are witnesses to destruction and disaster all around us. The 2020 Ecological Threat Register captures data representing, and it states, the data states a staggering tenfold increase of natural disasters from 39 incidents in 1960 to 396 disasters in 2019. We are witnesses of disasters happening all over the world. In addition, we are witnessing drought so severe here in America. We were just there in the state of California. Farmers are ripping up. One news outlet reported a farmer ripped up thousands of his almond trees because there's not enough water to water his almond trees. So they ripped them out of the ground. For the first time since it came online in the same state of California, more than 50 years ago, a power generating station, the Oroville Dam, stopped producing electricity because the reservoir of water dipped so low. That's here in America. That's not a third world country. The country of Afghanistan, it's well documented and reported, is completely demoralized and dangerous again as the Taliban are going from house to house. It reports that they're just executing Christians. People that went back there or that maybe were saved there are people that went into that land with some newfound freedom thinking maybe we can convert some Muslims to the Lord. Convert some folks with the gospel of Jesus Christ that are now on the list of martyrs. And once again, we see a huge vacuum for terrorists to form and assemble like Al-Qaeda. Today we are witnesses all around us, death and destruction and disease and drought and dangers in proportions unfathomable. Because it was always, it's coming, but it's down the road. And now it's here. Now we're in the middle of it. We are witnesses to inflation skyrocketing out of control. I think I saw an article this weekend, 8.69% whole goods prices have raised almost 10%, round up, almost 10% in the last so many, I don't know if it was a year or whatnot. 10%. That's hitting the pocketbooks hard of hardworking folks. We are witnesses to food shelf lines getting longer right here in America. Miles and miles and miles long of cars waiting to get some food right here in our country, in our land. We're not talking a third world country. We're witnesses at times to long lines at gas stations even. With disruptions in the gas supply and the gas flow. Not Venezuela, where they wait days sometimes. Here in America, we're seeing at times, for various reasons and disruptions, long lines at the gas station. I never would have imagined that in my lifetime. We are witnesses to homelessness growing and taking over entire neighborhoods. In California a few weeks ago, we drove through San Francisco. Entire blocks, entire neighborhoods with tents and homelessness just right out in the open. And in America, we're seeing more and more that people are shooting up and doing drugs right in broad daylight. Not in the privacy, not in the privacy of a corner or an alley. Right out in the open. Furthermore, we are witnessing violence on our streets, brazen lawlessness right here in America. Right in the good old of USA. Right on our streets. Complete lawlessness. The political fabric of our society is breaking down. One politician enacts this. A judge goes back and counters that. Lawlessness is rising up in our world. We are witnesses to rage and disrespect corrupting our communication. Jen parked, was waiting for some food at Chili's the other night, and my wife parked a little bit on the line or over the line. She wasn't paying attention. And some lady came out with rage and started middle fingers and all kinds of expletives, and kids are around, and my wife almost called the cops. She got scared. We're seeing it on our streets. Not just on our streets, we're seeing it just in our communities, in our neighborhoods. And all this outside the home, but what about the impact on marriages and mental health? We are witnessing depression and domestic abuse. and drug use skyrocket in homes. And yes, church congregations. Churches across America are facing staggering losses of momentum and connectivity and an alarming percentage of families and folks that are just disappearing. You can't get a hold of them. Whether they've relocated or left or not interested or bunkering down in their homes, it's affecting the church in America. It's affecting the church around the world, but especially here in America. Today, we see all around us the earth trembling and the earth shaking and the earth quaking for the coming of Christ. We shouldn't be alarmed. It's in the book. It's in the book. It's in the book of books. God warned us. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to transpire. Many of us may feel like Job this morning. Job chapter 9 and verse 11. 9:11. Behold, he passes by me and I see him not. He moves on, but I do not perceive him. Job was crying out, God, where are you? I'm suffering here. Job was saying, God, I see death. My family's been taken. I see disease. I've got boils all over my body. I see disruption, my finances, my economy, it's gone. My wealth, it's gone. God, where are you? I don't perceive you. I cannot see you. I can't feel you. God, where are you? And maybe you feel that way this morning. Lord, where are you? Why haven't you come rescued us? Why haven't you come saved us from this? Why haven't you intervened? Look at the destruction and the disruption in my family and in my heart and in my mind and in my life. God, where are you? I've come today now with a message explaining what we already know and already feel and have felt for far too long. 2 weeks to flatten the curve, remember? 2 weeks has turned into too long. And here we are a year and a half later. I've not come today, though, with a message that the grocery stores and the department stores, aisles, and shelves will be returned to their grandeur. My wife likes to get her some Target clearance items. Any of you ladies know what I'm talking about this morning? It's called the end cap. And my wife would just walk down the end caps, walk down the aisle, look at all the end caps. Ooh, there's a clearance item. Woo! That's 90% off. I think I could use that. And if I'm not with her, she might get it. And if I'm with her and monitoring the shopping situation, I might say, honey, do we really need that? Can we take that with us to the other side? And the conversation might go something like this. She might look at me and say, what you talking about, Willis? I make some money around here too. I can spend some money. I have not come this morning with a message of hope for the Target or the Walmart or the, what is it here? What's the main grocery store? I forgot. It's been 20 plus years. Woodman's. I haven't come to encourage you in your shopping exploits. I've not come to settle our souls that racial strife and political pettiness in America will yield to harmony and unity. Folks, it's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. It's sad to say, but it's not going to get better. I've not come with a message that the chaos and calamity in our world will not get any worse. I've not come to encourage us that the White House or the courthouse or even the church house will return to its pre-pandemic normalcy. Brother Joel, that sounds pretty depressing. That's the reality. That's the reality of what we're living. Where's Sister Moore? Make it plain. Make it plain. I'm missing a Sister Moore. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Where? She's not here this morning. Sister Minty Moore. Tight, but it's right. Tight, but it's right, she used to say. Man, if you've never sat in a service with that girl, she knew how to get behind the preacher. Hallelujah. Having some flashbacks here this morning. I think she's still with the Lord as far as I know. She's just not in this church anymore. But be encouraged this morning, brothers and sisters. I have come. I rise to this pulpit this morning with a word from the throne of God that I felt in my heart for this church family. Be encouraged this morning, brothers and sisters. For every fear that we feel, there's a fear not promised in the word of God. Can I get a witness this morning? Be encouraged this morning, Calvary Gospel Church. For every problem, there's a promise in the word of God. Be encouraged this morning. Let's take our eyes off the troubles and the trials and the tribulations and lift up our eyes to the hills from where our help comes from. Be encouraged this morning, brothers and sisters. Let's take our eyes off the struggles and the rubble as the pillars of society are crumbling all around us. Because while we are witnessing a geopolitical chess match as nations, they're jockeying for power and economic leverage on one another. We could see how easily that pivotal city of Jerusalem will one day be surrounded by armies, the Bible says. But I've come here this morning. Let's take our focus off the earthly Jerusalem and the kingdoms of this life, and let's focus on the promise of the new Jerusalem spoken of in the book of Revelation 21:2. And I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. John the Revelator wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Somebody be encouraged this morning. This world is not our home. I know that we've built homes, we've built up things in this life. This sanctuary was built on the faithfulness of so many families, many of which of you are still here. But this world is not our home. This sanctuary is not the church. There's the church and then there's the kingdom. And we're looking forward to the kingdom of heaven. We're looking forward to a kingdom that will never crumble, a kingdom that will last for eternity. It can never be tainted. It can never be perverted. There will be no pettiness there. There will be no sorrow there. There will be no COVID and sickness there. I've come with a message to remind us to look to the kingdom of heaven. Don't be discouraged. The world will always be the world, and it's going to grow worse. It's not going to get better. But let's be the end time church that God intended us to be. Don't be discouraged by the empty seats. You come time and time again and you wonder, man, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while. And what happened to this family? Where are they? And maybe you try to reach them, try to contact them. And you can't reach them or the response is, it's not looking good. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. I see this morning a host of faithful saints across this congregation that despite all the odds, you brought yourself and you brought your family to be in this ark of safety in the house of God. And God bless you for it. Don't stop being faithful. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to be pretty on a Sunday morning, and you don't have to be perfect. Bring yourself and bring your family to the house of God to hear the word of God. Be encouraged this morning. John 14 says, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what we're pressing forward for. That's what we're looking forward for. Not the things of this life. We're looking forward to being with Jesus. the captain of our salvation and the bishop of our soul for the rest of eternity. That's our goal. That's our goal. Keep your eyes on the prize, saints of God. Lift up your eyes. The kingdom of heaven is near. This world is not our home. Let's be reminded this morning, or maybe for some, let us begin to look at life's profit and loss columns through the lens of the Lord and the currency of his kingdom. Let's weigh everything with the currency of the kingdom, which is souls. Lord, I must be saved. My family must be saved. And Lord, help me to take somebody along the way. Lord, help me to grab some folks along the way that are on their way to a devil's hell. God, give me the words to say. Give me influence in their lives. God, let your Holy Ghost and Spirit anoint me in such a measure that people may even come to me that I'm not aware. They're not on my radar, God. Let us weigh everything with the currency of the kingdom. Be encouraged this morning, saints of God. While the kingdoms of humanity crumble, we can cling to the kingdom of heaven, which is our eternal home. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Psalms 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help, it doesn't come from the bank account. It doesn't come from the doctor's reports. Yes, those can be good things. There's nothing wrong with that. My help doesn't come from the CPA or the counselor. We need CPAs and we need good counselors to help us get through some things. Pastoral counseling and elder counseling and other kinds of counseling. There's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, our help, it comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow, listen to this, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is your keeper. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out. He shall preserve your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Fear not, honey. Fear not, sir. Fear not. Fear not. And lift up your eyes to the hills from where our help comes from. Lift up our eyes to the hill of Calvary, where the blood of Jesus flows freely. I don't care what you did last night. We don't care what you did this morning. As long as you apply the blood of Jesus over that sin or that shortcoming, the blood of Jesus flows freely. We look to the hill of Calvary. We look to the hill of Calvary, where everyone is on equal footing. Everyone is number one at the foot of the cross. While the political systems and the classes of our society, they've got a hierarchy sometimes, don't they? People are playing favorites. Ever had some favorites played at the workplace, politics of the workplace? That's no fun. I could tell you some stories. At the foot of the cross, everyone is number one. Jesus doesn't play favorites. He's not willing that any should perish. Be encouraged this morning, church, that while supply chains are delayed and supplies dwindle, the blood of Jesus and the brand new every morning mercies and the grace of God extends to anyone that will humble themselves in the sight of God and anyone that will hunger and thirst after righteousness. Be encouraged this morning, even though that the Bible warns us that sin will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Where sin abounds, grace abounds that much more. Mm-mm-mm. Woo! Almost had an accident there. That wouldn't have been pretty. Do that a little bit here. Love me some grace. When folks walk in, whether it's the first time, or the 31st time you hug their neck. Follow the guidelines, talk to your pastor, but maybe figuratively speaking, I got to be careful here. I'm not the pastor. Hug their neck. Let them know how much you love them. It doesn't matter if it's been years since you've seen them. If it doesn't matter if it's been decades since you've seen them. When they walk in the house of God, let them know this is home. This is where you belong. We love you. We want you here. Disunity and division has infiltrated the church. The vaccine, no vaccine. Mask, no mask. Democrat, Republican, Independent. The pink elephant party, I don't know. We can't allow that to infiltrate the church. Doesn't matter who you voted for. If you voted for Biden or Trump or you didn't vote, it doesn't matter because we're looking to the kingdom of heaven. We're looking to the kingdom of heaven. And if you voted for Trump and I voted for Biden, or you voted for Biden and I voted for Trump, I'm going to sit by you in the house of God and I'm going to worship by you in the house of God because you're my brother. You're my sister. This is the kingdom of God we're talking about. And Jesus is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And he doesn't have a political party. He just has the Holy Ghost party. Hallelujah. Be encouraged this morning. What is happening today, it's in the book. God warned us. He gave us a little insight. And now it's happening. We are on the front lines. Reading the front pages. For the newspapers that still exist. And it's already been taken into account. Be encouraged this morning. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you would have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Be encouraged, somebody, this morning. God is not silent. He is not distant. And don't forget, over 2,000 years ago, he robed himself in flesh to give us the vaccine for sin. To give us the antidote for sin. That's what we need to be worried about. COVID can take our bodies, but it can't take our souls. It will not determine our eternal destination, but sin can. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus said, I've got a vaccine. I've got an antidote. It's my blood. I'm going to die on the cross so that every sin, every sickness, every stress and strain can be covered by my blood and forgotten for all time. So that you may live with me for forever in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul wrote to the church in Philippians, and I close. I press toward the goal, the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Fear not. Lift up your eyes and press forward, church. Don't stop being faithful. I remember sitting on the front row worshiping with my baby brother. He's still my baby brother. I love him. I love this man. I remember, Phil, you remember worshiping to God together on the front row in the fellowship hall. I wanted to be on the front row. Got to get me some of that. That Jesus. Got to give me some of that Holy Ghost I needed. Be encouraged this morning. The Bible talks about the Holy Ghost as the comforter. It is no surprise. Because we all need some comforting right about now. I need some good old comforting Holy Ghost in my life. And the rivers of living water, they flow freely and extend to you today. Fear not. Look up and press forward. And we'll see each other. We'll see each other on the other side. He who endures to the end shall be saved. He who endures. Hold on, honey. Hold on, sir. Fear not. Look up. Press forward. God bless you this morning. Let's all stand this morning. Thank you, Brother Joel, for sharing your heart, and timely and needed, and I appreciate it. Before we dismiss and go get our children, for those of you that have, let's just pray that God would implant this message into our hearts this morning. Okay, let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus, for Brother Joel. Thank you for this message, Lord, that you gave him to bring forward to us, God. God, I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to fear not. God, open our eyes to see the things of you so that we can look up, God. And God, give us the strength and courage to press forward, God, through whatever's going on. Change our mindset of what is actually happening, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You have a couple minutes here. Grab your children if you have them. Shake someone's hand if you don't have kids, or maybe on your way to get your kids. But it's great to see you. The next service will be starting in 10 minutes. God bless.